Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Do it, okay? Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Thank you.
There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and just slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. thirst of your holy name. Lord, I thirst of your holy name.
Yeah. How about now? Okay, it might go off again because I just twisted the battery. It's probably that corrosion. Anybody got some Diet Coke? You ever really think about that? Like, how do you kill corrosion? You put Coke on it and you drink Coke. Just imagine what that's doing to your insides. I'm just saying, that's got nothing to do with anything. All right, Nani's class. Are y'all having class today? Nani, if you're in Nani's class, whatever grades and ages that may be, she doesn't care. Nikki, you are too old, though. I'm sorry. Anybody over 40 is out. That was low. That was low. She's not really over 40. I actually didn't know. She's close? Okay. I'm going to stop before I get in trouble, Jeff. Probably a good idea. All right, y'all. Y'all bow your heads. We'll pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the worship that we had this morning. Could really fill your spirit. Be with Big John on his trip thing that he's on, and I pray that you'll do some amazing things there and do some amazing things here this morning. Just open your word to us and speak to us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I am not Big John, obviously. I'm Little Big John. Little Big John. Although I keep gaining weight and he keeps losing, so eventually we're going to pass at some point. He's down to like 290, I think, and I'm up to 195, so we got a minute, but we're going to catch each other eventually. So I'm Jamie Harrison. If you don't know, I'm the youth pastor here when they let me be. So if any of the kids start talking while I'm talking, I will probably go knock them upside the head or something to that effect, throw something at them, whatever the case may be. That's why they all sat in the back, because they knew I would. So, that being said, do you guys agree with this statement? God is enough. That was a question in America. When one asks a question, the other person gives the answer. See, Paul, this is your fault again. So, do you agree with the statement, God is enough? Yes. Okay, does anybody disagree with the statement that God is enough? Nobody wants to be that guy, huh? Like that guy that says, no, I disagree with that statement, God is not enough. So everybody agrees that God is enough. You agree with that? Like no matter what you're going through, no matter what your troubles are, no matter what it is on the face of this earth, you agree that God is enough. Okay, I'm not Big John. I need more than five people to answer at a time, right? I know he asks a question and just keeps talking. I stop. All right, so we'll try this again. No matter what's going on in the world, you agree that God is enough.
Yes.
Okay, now, here's what I'm going to tell you. God is not enough. Now, don't leave and start throwing stuff at me just yet. Just hear me out. I know for a fact that God is not enough. That's a fact. And here's how I know that God is not enough. Because I know that over half of Christian marriages end in divorce. So God can't be enough. I know that over half of the pastors in the United States of America are addicted to pornography because God's not enough. I know for a fact that almost 75% of ministers, be it a youth pastor, an associate pastor, whatever, deal with some type of clinical depression, which tells me that God's not enough. You see, I know a bunch of Christians that have gotten saved, and when something bad happens, they still turn to drugs because God's not enough. I got friends that when something bad happens, turn to alcohol because God is not enough. And I got a bunch of friends that turn to pornography every time something bad happens. Because God is not enough. Because the simple fact is, if God was enough, we wouldn't turn to those things. But we do turn to those things. which tells us that God can't be enough. Does the Bible teach that God is enough or not enough? Teaches that God is enough. So where in lies the problem? I love it. Y'all turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. They say the first step in dealing with a problem is to do what? Admit the problem. So where is the problem? That's right. Notice I pointed all my fingers and thumbs right here so nobody could see I was pointing at somebody else. I know I'm the problem. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What we want to look at is exactly what the Bible has to say about God being enough or not enough. And my hope is that by the time we get done with this sermon, not that you'll be like still freaking out thinking this dude really just said God is not enough, or not that you'll be beating yourself up thinking I'm a horrible person, I should just go shoot myself and die, but so that by the time we're done, you look and go, wow, God really is enough. Because, y'all, I promise you, every time I go to preach something like I live it, it's just something that God thinks is funny. And so I never preach on anything real crazy because I don't want to live it. See what I'm saying? Like, I'm just not going to do it because I don't want to go through it. Not really, but anyway, when he puts something on my heart and I start studying, it's like every time I go through it. And so as I was studying this, I started realizing that, oh my goodness, God really isn't enough for me. Because every time this would happen, I would do this. And every time that would happen, I would do that. So what we want to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in the second verse, second half of verse 7, and read through verse 10. And this is Paul talking. He says, therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so that I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So what we notice in the second half of verse 7, the first thing that Paul says here is that a thorn in the flesh was given to me, so I would not exalt myself. So I want to point something out to you about Paul, guys. Right before this, he's talking about, basically what he says right before he writes this is, if anybody has a reason to boast and be full of pride, it's me. Because, like, God called me up into the third heaven and I had this great revelation of God and Jesus and I saw this awesome stuff. And so, if anybody should be proud and boastful, it's me. But then this is what he says. He says, but there was a thorn in the flesh that was given to me. Now, we always ask ourselves the question, like, why was this thorn given to him? But the answer is real simple. That thorn was a thorn for pride. Because the simple fact is, if Paul didn't have that thorn, he would have had no reason to trust in Jesus. Because you think about Paul's life, man. Think about, like, almost every church that got started during that time, who started it? It's not a trick question. I was just talking about him. Paul, very good. It's like I gave you the answer before I asked the question. Paul did. Who was healing people all over the place in Jesus' name? Paul was. Who was helping thousands of people come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ? Paul was. So how easy would it have been for Paul to look at Paul and go, wow, I'm pretty cool. When I preach, people get saved. When I speak, people are healed. I mean, the other day I prayed for Dustin and he wasn't ugly anymore. I said, Lord, that's all. Thank you, Lord, for the gift. And then I looked back at him and went, never mind. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for keeping my pride down, Dustin. I appreciate it. I'm just kidding. But think about it. Paul had no reason at this point to trust in God because everything was going pretty well. So all of a sudden, this thorn comes and hits him. And it's not going well anymore. And Paul tells you right there, he says, therefore, so that I would not exalt myself. So in other words, here's what I want to point out to you guys. A lot of times when things come up in our life, we immediately start blaming the devil. And we'll get to that in a minute. But we immediately start blaming the devil. And we're like, Oh, man, it's all the devil's fault. It's the devil's fault that I have no money, even though I spent it all last night. What did the devil got to do with that? You spent it all, right? And this is what Paul was saying. He was saying this thorn was given to me so I would trust God. So I would have to depend on God. So sometimes when a thorn hits you and something bad happens, it's because God is trying to bring you back to Him and make you realize that you have got to depend on me. You can't do it by yourself. You've got to depend on me and my strength to be able to make it through each and every day. And so this thorn I like to look at as a thorn for dependence. It's 100% completely a thorn for dependence. God gave Paul this thorn so he would have to turn to Him, and he couldn't do it by himself. And so here's what I want you guys to do. If you have a pen, which I know everybody carries around pens in their little pockets with their pocket protector, right? Nobody? No pocket protector? I really wanted to make fun of somebody. Okay, nobody? Bert does. That's too easy. That's too easy. Okay, so if you have a pen, get it out, and I want you to write down somewhere what I'm about to say. If you don't have a pen, get your phone out and put it in the notes, okay? This is really important. This message won't work if you don't do this. All right, we're all going to die of a gas explosion if you don't write this down. All right? I tried, and it was worth a shot. So, I want you to think about what thorn you have in your life right now. Okay, just write that down. This is just for you. Whatever thorn you have in your life, like what's not going very well, in other words, like the main thing that's on your mind that's really just taking up a lot of your thought process. Okay, write that down real quick. I've got mine written down already. I'm not telling you. It's mine, not yours. So write yours down and put it in your phone real quick. Give you a minute. Okay, that's long enough. So now what I want you to do is right beside that thorn, and I want you to really think about this before you do it, okay? Right beside that thorn, put down what your immediate reaction is when it shows itself. Okay, so to give you an example, I said money a minute ago, so let's take money. So, if money is your thorn, as soon as you think about money, what's your first reaction? Okay, does that make sense? So some of your first reaction is to start saying bad words. If that's your reaction, write that down. Okay? Y'all follow me? Everybody good? Still some confusing looks, but oh well. That's all I got. Got it? Got it written down? Some of y'all didn't write it down and the gas is going to explode. Okay, so look at your thorn. Look at it where you wrote it down. And look at your initial reaction. Now, here's what we know, guys. We know that for most of us, when bad times happen, like for me, when something happens that I don't like, I go eat ice cream. But just to be perfectly honest, when things happen that I do like, I go eat ice cream. So it's not much of a different reaction. I just like ice cream. Hence the fact I'm gaining weight while John's losing weight, right? So we don't always react in a very good way when things don't go our way. Okay? So if some of y'all wrote your thing down, you probably wrote down something that wasn't so nice. So what we want to know is how should we actually react when that thorn shows itself? Okay? So let's go back and let's look in the next verse, verse 8. So Paul has just said this thorn was given to me, and his immediate reaction, he says, concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it would leave me. So stop there and don't read any further. So the thorn shows itself, and what does Paul do? He prays. He prays. As soon as it shows up, he prays. Like, people don't really know what his thorn was. Some people think he contracted malaria and he had like junk oozing out of his eyes and stuff, and that's why he wrote, I write to you in such big letters. Some people think it was like lust, looking at women because he wasn't married and that he just couldn't control himself. We really don't know what it was. He never says what it was, but what we know is this. Whatever it was, his initial reaction when it showed itself was to get down and pray. That's what we know. So what I want to ask you guys is very simply this. How many of you Wrote down, don't answer this. Wrote down, pray for your initial reaction. Now there's a key word there, initial reaction. I didn't say 5 minutes later or 5 days later. Your initial reaction, as soon as the bad thing happens, I pray. Because the fact is, for most of us, not all of us, but for most of us, that's not our initial reaction. Our initial reaction is to try to take it all and do it ourselves, right? We put it all on our shoulders and we're like, I can carry this, I can handle this, I got it, no problem. And we just take it and we walk a little bit lower because the weight of the world is just steadily pushing us down because we really like to trust ourselves. Okay, but I think back to Matthew chapter 26, and there's a picture right over there on the wall. Where is Jesus at in that picture? Y'all know? Garden of Gethsemane. This is right before he's going to be crucified. Okay, right before they're about to put what on his head? A crown of thorns. So Jesus is about to receive his thorn. And right before he receives his thorn, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and what does he do? He prays how many times? Three. You notice the correlation there. How many times did Paul pray? Three times. So Jesus goes and he prays three times, and what he says is, Lord, if there's any way possible I can get out of this, please take it away. I mean, y'all really think about what happened to him when he got crucified, and think about knowing what's about to happen to you. It's not like you wake up in the morning and you're driving down the road and you have a car wreck. It'd be like waking up in the morning knowing you're going to have a car wreck and then having a car wreck. So Jesus woke up that morning. He knew he was going to be crucified. He knew they were going to beat the snot out of him. He knew all that was about to happen. And he goes and he prays three times and he says, Lord, if there's any way possible, please take this thorn away from me because I don't think I can handle it. So Jesus' thorn led him to do what? Pray. Paul's thorn led him to do what? Pray. So what does your thorn lead you to do? Not what should it, but what does it? What does your thorn really lead you to do? So let's keep reading, because Jesus gives Paul an answer here. And I love this answer. And just the first word. What's the first word of verse 9? I'm pretty sure it's up there. It's not a trick question. What's the first word? But. Y'all like, I don't want to say but in church. There's not two T's. There's only one T. You're okay. But no, in the youth group, I've told y'all before, we talk about God's but all the time because it's really cool. Like when God says but, it means it wipes away everything that was just said, right? Okay. But that might not be a good thing in this case because it says Paul prayed three times for God to take it away. But. So did God answer his prayer? Did God take the thorn away? It was still there. It didn't go away. And here's where I think we get confused a lot of times. We pray for a certain thing over and over and over, and then we immediately start complaining to God and asking him why he hasn't taken care of the problem yet. You know, and I told y'all, I don't know how many times, it's like McDonald's did this to us. You go to McDonald's, you order your burger, they give it to you, it's the right way, and then you're out in like 5 minutes. And so then when we pray, we expect the same service. We think that God's like some kind of drive-through genie. And we pray to him, and he's just going to answer our prayer right off the bat. But here's the thing I want you to understand about this, is God denies Paul in love. He doesn't deny him because he doesn't want to answer his prayer. He doesn't deny him because he doesn't like him. He denies him in love. And when God denies us in love, we have no reason to complain about what he's doing. Because here is the question that we should be asking ourselves. And if I wrote anything down from this message, this would probably be what I wrote down. This is the question we never ask. Hey, God, what are you doing here? That's it. It's not some mind-boggling, profound question, but it's a question we hardly ever ask. Because we expect God to answer our prayer a particular way. We expect God to do what we say, when we say, how we say it, because we feel like we know the end result better than he does. Even though he's painted this huge masterpiece, trillions of people involved in every intricate detail, but we sometimes think we know better than he does what the end looks like. And so we never ask him the question, hey God, what are you doing here? Like, you're not answering my prayer and I just really don't understand it. What are you trying to do? What's the end result here? Where are you going with this? Why are you giving me this thorn in the flesh? I just don't understand. God, what are you trying to do? We don't ask that question because if we're perfectly honest with ourselves, we don't want to know the answer. We don't care what God's trying to do. We care about what we want to do and what feels good for us and what seems good for us in the moment. Which might be why the thorn was given to us in the first place. So Jesus answers him, and he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. Now there's something really important that happens here in this verse that gets skipped over a lot of times. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. So in other words, he says, look, I'm not going to take your thorn away from you, but my grace is sufficient that I'm going to take care of you. Does anybody know what the Greek word sufficient is? I don't either. That's what I'm asking. Nobody? Yeah, I was hoping y'all knew. Okay, next point. No, I'm just kidding. The Greek words for sufficient, it literally means this. Y'all ready for this? It means to be enough. We're going to try that again. It means to be enough. Thank you. Man, y'all got to wake up. I'm going to start throwing my Bible at folks. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be one of them churches. All right, listen to me, y'all. The whole point of this message was I said that God is enough. And then I said, but he's really not enough because he doesn't live like it. And when Paul asked him to answer his prayer, what answer does he give him? I am what? Enough. He says, I am enough. Paul, I'm going to take care of you. I gave you this thorn so you would depend on me. And I'm going to see you through because my grace is sufficient. So, Paul, there's no need to complain. There's no need to worry. There's no need to even think anything else about it other than you give it to me and let me work through you. Okay? So let's look at what Paul says after this. He says, therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Now I want to clear up a misconception real quick, and I need your attention for this. I know that if somebody preaches for 30 minutes, you have their attention for 5. Okay? Like, I know that. I'm cool with that. I got no problem with that. So if you're going to pay attention for 5, pay attention to this 5. Okay? If you've already paid attention for 5, I'm going to start the sermon over, so give me this next 5. Okay? If you are sleeping, I really am going to throw something at you. So, here's what we have to understand, and we have to clear this misconception up. Is Paul says, Lord, I thank you for my weaknesses. In other words, he says, Lord, I thank you for the thorns. But here's the misconception. Some people think that when I get saved, I just keep on doing what I was doing before, because what a great testimony it is for the Lord's strength. Some people really think that. They think that I should keep living in this sin and doing the same thing and not change anything because it just shows that God can save anybody. Okay, so it'd be like somebody that was, I'll pick an easy one, totally addicted to drugs, and they get saved and they keep doing drugs and they say, God saved a drug head like me. Now I'm still a drug head, but God saved me. I'm not trying not to be a drug head, but God saved me. Praise the Lord. Is that what Paul's talking about? No, and that's where people mess up. God does not say to boast in your sin. God doesn't say to be proud of your sin. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure in Romans he tells us that when we get saved, we become a new creation. The old man is passed away. Behold, all things become new. So the things that we were doing before should eventually start going away. And we should start doing things that He wants us to do. So here's what Paul was actually talking about. You should just be able to turn back like one page. Chapter 11. Or maybe it's on the same page. Chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 24 through 29. Paul says, 5 times I received the 40 lashes minus one from the Jews. So guys, that's 195 lashes with a whip that Paul received across his back. 195. Would anybody like to take a turn and just receive one? Okay, he received 195. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. The stoning almost killed him. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I've spent a night and a day in the open sea. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, and dangers among false brothers. Toil and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and without clothing. Not to mention other things, there's a daily pressure on me, my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? So guys, this is what Paul is talking about. He's saying, thank you, Lord, that I was able to receive 195 lashes in your name. Thank you, Lord, that they stoned me and tried to kill me in your name. Thank you, Lord, that I was lost at sea and pretty sure I was going to die in your name. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about persecutions and hardships. How many of y'all would admit you've been through some kind of hardship or trial in the last 35 years? Just trying to cover everybody. Only half of you. So everybody else is perfect, so we're going to let them come up and finish the message now because they got it down. So let's try that again. How many of you will be honest and admit that you've been through some kind of trial or hardship in your lifetime? I'm not even asking today. I'm saying your whole lifetime. Thank you. Thank you. Right. So I got that look right there. I got you, man. Raise my hand. So listen, guys, this is what Paul's talking about. He's talking about when you go through a trial and you go through a hardship, instead of complaining about it and woe is me and like we oftentimes do. Y'all know how when something bad happens, you like to call all your friends and tell them? Okay, we talked about it. I told y'all I was going to finish the Sunday school lesson this morning in church because we were talking about people in the youth group that's first name's drama, middle name's drama, last name's drama, and the suffix is drama. So it's drama, 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 comma, drama. And I'm pretty sure you spell comma, D-R-A-M-A. Okay? So we got those kind of people in the youth group. And it's like all the time something's wrong with them. Oh my gosh, everything can't be bad every time I see you. But that's the way it is for some of them. And I understand they're teenagers and they're crazy and all that stuff. And that's just part of being a teenager. Right? Amen? Thank you. So that's just part of it. But what I also understand is this, is that's the attitude that a lot of us have. Every time something bad happens, man, we call our best friend, oh, you won't believe what happened to me today. Oh, it was the worst thing in the world. I was walking in the kitchen, I stubbed my toe, man. It hurts so bad. Right? That's what a lot of us do, man. We complain about every little thing that happens and every little thing that goes wrong. And it's like nothing can ever go right. It's just negative, negative, negative. And some people ask me all the time, they're like, how come you hide in the sound booth and don't come out and like greet people when they come in? I'm like, if you really want me to be honest, it's because all I hear all day long, 365 days a year, is negative, 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 negative. But you think about it, every parent that comes in is not happy. Right? Oh, I work at the school, by the way. So every parent that comes in is not happy. Most of the people I talk to are mad and negative and want to know why this happened and why this happened and why that happened. Why they go to there? All the time. So you get tired of the negative all the time. And so, guys, look back where we just were. It's right before verse 10. It's kind of the end of verse 9, obviously. And Paul says, I boast in my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me. And this is the part we miss, y'all. We don't live in our sin so we can have a great testimony. We don't keep doing the same old stupid stuff and say, well, we just want the Lord to work through us. Amen. Now, what we do is we allow Christ's power to work through us. That word power is the word dunamis, and it actually means abundance. So once again, God is what? Enough. God is really enough. So man, it's like this, y'all. When Paul got hit with that thorn, if they had computers back then, he could have cut a computer on, pulled up one of those websites, released some stress, and felt a lot better. They had wine back then. He could have hit the bottle, got drunk, forgot all about it for a few minutes. If he was married, he could have cheated on his wife and felt really good for 2 or 3 minutes. He could have done all this stuff. And it would have made him feel really good. And he could have complained about it, gotten it off his chest, and felt really good about it. And he could have called all the other apostles together and just had a little crying session with them. But he didn't. He prayed. Because he knew that God is enough. And the last time I checked, the God that Paul served is the same God we serve. And if God was enough for Paul, then God's enough for me. This is the point you say amen. Thank you. Gotta force them sometimes, you know what I'm saying? It's like Baptist church, golly. So, y'all know I always got to tell a joke when it gets real serious. I was telling Bert that this message was going to be a little intense, and the reason I said it was going to be intense is because of this. A lot of us got saved and never changed. A lot of us got saved and kept doing the same things that we were always doing. And we think it's okay. And the fact is, it's not okay. God has called us to be different. He's called us to stand out. He's called us to let His power work through us. And so here's my challenge for you guys today. When your thorn hits you the next time, which it probably already has, some of y'all have been checking your phones and stuff. Y'all will not be watching that stuff. Normally see a lot of people on the book face and the chat snap and all that stuff. I'd say Instagram backwards, but Graham Insta. Right, so your thorns, man, they hit you all the time. They're going to hit you when you walk out the door. They're going to hit you when you go back to work. They're going to hit you wherever they are. They're going to hit you again. And so here's my challenge for you. Instead of doing whatever you wrote down on that paper or whatever you put in your phone, here's what I want you to put beside that, okay? And it's really simple. This is what I want you to write or type into your phone. But, one T, but, now I pray. But now I pray. And guys, I promise you, in the last few months, I've been praying more than I ever have before. And I don't know, it's just been, I don't even know what to tell you it was. But I can promise you this, things have not gotten easier, but my stress level has gone way down. Because I finally have started to realize that I shouldn't just say God's enough. I should live it, man. I should live it. So if you will, bow your head and close your eyes. I'm sure they're going to come sing a song or something. We can turn the lights off and set the mood just right. Or we can do it for real. Because doing it for real is when you have a conversation with God, just you and God. And here's the conversation, y'all. It's so simple. If y'all would bow your head and close your eyes, again, like for real, that requires you to close your eyes. And I just want you to take a minute, and just between you and God, man, just between you and God, work it out with Him. And it can be simple, I mean, just as simple as, God, I say You're enough, but I really don't believe it. There was a guy in the Bible that said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So, Father, we come to You now in Jesus' name. And I pray for each person in here, Lord. And, man, I know that I've lived so many times like you weren't enough. I pray, Lord, that you would drive this church, this congregation, each person in this room. God, drive us to prayer. Lord, when the hard times come, when the troubles come, instead of turning to the other stuff, Lord, help us turn to prayer and allow your power to work through us, your power for good. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready? Okay. This is David. He wouldn't sit in a chair, so he's with me. And I was sitting there thinking while the song was going on, and I was like, man, you know, I think the million things that go through my head right at the end of service, like what all I have to do and all that kind of stuff. And I really got to thinking about it. I was like, you know, Lord, I asked everybody to take this moment and kind of do business with you. I wonder how many of you actually took that moment and did business with God. And my prayer is that you did, is that you really did. And say, you know what, Lord, I need you. I need you. And I need to pray. And so I leave you guys with that. And if the ushers will come up. Do we have ushers? No, no money today? Everybody got real excited. We get to go out to eat, man. Nope. Still got to pay the bills. Lord, thank you again this morning for your word and for each and every person that's here. I pray that we would give as you ask us to give, Lord, whether that's tithes or offerings, whichever one, but that we would be obedient to you and what it is that you've asked us to give, and that we would use whatever is given for your glory and for your ministry, Lord. Lord, we thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. one more time for this service this morning. Thank you for your word and the worship. I pray that you be with us, go with us, Lord, and just really drive us to our knees as we go from this place. We thank you. We praise you. And as always, it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Break.